Good evening, Bloomington. 6:05, News Talk, 96.1, AM 1370 and WGCLRadio.com. In the Zone Radio program, coming to you live from an absolutely gorgeous Monday night. Here in Bloomington, the 14th day of September 2015, the victory flag is flying high over Memorial Stadium. 289 days, I believe, in a row now. Not a bad streak to have. We'll obviously talk plenty of IU football tonight. But the Colts didn't start off their season the way they had hoped to. A lot of Super Bowl dreams and predictions from a lot of folks for the Horseshoes. They start off with a loss in Buffalo that led to many, many more questions than answers. So we've got a busy program for you tonight, but we have a quick one for you tonight. Why is that? Well, as has been the tradition now of carrying the NFL for the last couple of years, we know on the opening weekend the NFL has a Monday Night Football doubleheader, and we will proudly bring you both games. With pregame starting tonight at 6:30, that will take you into former IU great running back Tevin Coleman and the Atlanta Falcons hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, followed immediately after by Minnesota, the Vikings traveling to Santa Clara, the home of Super Bowl 50, to take on the 49ers in the nightcap this evening. There's probably two guys in this room that aren't going to be up for the end of that game, but we'll have it for you insomniacs and football fans, all starting at 6:30. Joining me tonight is Terry Stahl. T, good afternoon. How are you?
Michael, doing great. I bet our buddy John stays up tonight.
Absolutely.
To watch his Niners.
He will be up for that. He might. Actually, he'll be listening on WGCL, because those of you who do stay up and get a watch get the dulcet tones of Chris Berman to ruin you. I mean, to enjoy your football evening this evening. So
lovely.
A busy short program for you. The good news is half of it is going to be really positive for the most part, and the bad news is the second half is going to be kind of nasty negative, as the Indianapolis media and the national media has had no problem turning on the Colts after one game against a very good Buffalo defense. I think the Bills aren't getting as much credit here, and the Colts, again, if we judged every game on one season, the Steelers are a failure. Seattle's a failure. The Colts are a failure. Who else is in there that was decent that lost yesterday? You can find a couple of them in there. But we'll try to make some sense of it. But we're going to start with happier thoughts. Last Saturday night, on a very cool early or late summer's eve, the Florida International University Panthers came to town to take on Indiana. For the second week in a row, Terry, the Hoosiers trailed at halftime after probably not the best first half of football, but found themselves, for the second time this year, winning when it was all said and done. Indiana wins. Big plays made on the defensive side. Big plays, big enough plays, made on the offensive side. We saw plenty of good things. We saw plenty of things that need improvement. And we'll start with the Hoosiers and your phone calls tonight at 812-333-2665. A win is a win is a win is a win. I said last week, if they're going to win every game 48-47, they do it six times, you've got me on your team. No problem.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, right now, that's the whole key is win some games. You know, these are what they call the winnable games, these first two. Now, this Saturday will be a little interesting. This will be, a very stern test for our young secondary. But, yeah, I just like the fact that on Saturday night, and as Chris Denary so aptly put it on the broadcast, the young defensive backs got better as the game went on. And Glass, you look at some of these guys, they're not scared, and they definitely have a little swagger about them. These guys got a lot of confidence.
They do, and they've made some plays, and they've made some busted reads and some bad decisions and everything else. But what I think the best part of this game was, we talk about the jump from week one to week two, and I think that's important. You want to see the team. Obviously, week one, is it jitters? Is it nerves? Is it opponent? Is it rust? Is it anything? Well, we knew Nate Sudfeld hadn't been hit for a long time. He had not seen probably as much live action as Indiana wanted him to see, just because they saw what happened last year when you get your quarterback hurt. Not a lot of good things happen. So when you look at week number two, the key and the spotlight was on one unit of the team, the one that was talked about all week, the one was pointed out in press conferences all week, the one side that got extra attention even from their head coach, and that was the defense. And I think when you look back at it, after giving up 659 yards, there was only one way to go, and that was to get better. I think the additions of Ralph Green, who deflected the first pass of the game, jumping up the line of scrimmage, knocking that down. Darius Latham was back as well. Those things did not hurt Indiana's defense at all. And a team that in Florida International who kept Indiana off balance again in the first half, hit them for some big plays throughout the game, provided a good test, a decent test. I don't think they were as offensively sharp as Southern Illinois was, but I don't think there's any disputing that Indiana got better on that side of the ball.
No, absolutely. It's a good point. And you know, Southern Illinois had the very prolific quarterback that could run, he could throw, obviously a guy that had been through the wars quite a bit, and I didn't see one guy for FIU that jumped out at me that was going to
break
the game. Yeah, that was going to be a game breaker, somebody was going to kill us. But, you know, your points are well taken. You know, as we got 8 of the 9 guys that were suspended back, and those two in particular, Latham and Green, were huge for us on the defensive end. And the thing that I liked was, I mean, there were three players on the defensive end that, as I was watching the game, I'm thinking, you know, Marcus Oliver, Rashard Fant, and, of course, Jameel Cook, three guys that had, up until the fourth quarter, had really not played well. Oliver turned around one time on a gang blitz, ran right into the quarterback, didn't grab him. The guy almost got a first down. Fant couldn't tackle anybody. And Jameel Cook, well, you know, we know what he did as far as not tackling, not covering. But, Glass, each one of those guys, actually, Fant made 4 nice plays late, wagging his finger as he's knocking
Fant
away.
Fant weighs
passes.
128 pounds. Yeah. I don't think he's going to tackle anybody this year. His strength is getting to the ball and breaking it up or shutting down the angles.
Yeah.
And I think the part of this defense that I think is more important than total yards, more important than total points, is can you make some plays? If you hold a team to 388 yards, that's good, right? But if they get the ball at the 40, which is not the defense's fault, and score on a short field, well, it doesn't matter how many yards there are. It's how many points you're giving up. And 22 of them, not bad at all. And the defense, the other part of it you have to like, is they made plays. And the Indiana's turnover margin this year, Sudfeld throws 1 interception in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as good as a punt. It's down to the 8-yard line.
Exactly.
It was an underthrown ball. It wasn't a good ball. Freshman wide receiver, 5 games from now, when he sees he can't make the play, will go up and hammer the defensive back instead of just jump up and say, oh, I can't catch it. Again, that's a learning thing there. That wasn't a killer play. You never like turnovers. But Nick Mangieri gets in the backfield and gets you a great strip. Oliver recovers the football. It seems like he's always around the ball. Even if he doesn't make the play, he seems like he's always got a nose for the football. The big interception on 4th and 1, again, the quarterback gets blown up. Somebody's in the quarterback's face, not allowing him to make a play in the end zone. And even if that ball hits the deck there, it's Indiana's ball up a touchdown, and they've got the ball, and Florida International's not scoring. But instead, Cook Jr. makes the play, goes, no one's catching him. My goodness, afterburner, see you later. Nobody's catching him, so he makes a big play. Mangieri had another sack or forced another fumble again. The team's driving and 2 red zone turnovers. I don't need to have 180 yards and minus 10 rushing to have a great quote-unquote defense. Situational defense for me is more important. Make a play, stop them in the red zone. Hey, you saw the freshman kid block a field goal 9.
Yes.
The safety blocks a field goal last week. Hey, those are plays that can help you win ball games because, again, Western Kentucky didn't have to go for – or Western Kentucky. Southern Illinois wouldn't have had it gone for 2. The game would have fell a different way in that situation if that play is not made. So, you don't expect shut down 1986 Super Bowl winning Bears defense. That's not the case. You'd be ranked in the top 25 if that was the case. You expect improvement. You expect better. You knocked a quarterback out. I'm not saying that for health reasons. I'm saying that when they had the ball and had a chance to get back in the game, he wasn't there. You had to go to the backup quarterback. Indiana has seen how much fun that's not to do. So the point is the guys that are out there can't get torched for 659 yards. They didn't. Is it a FIU problem? Might be. Was it Indiana defense play better? Yeah, I think it was. I think you had different plays there, and you bothered him by not allowing him to get a ton of yards rushing. You got in the backfield. You made some plays where maybe you didn't get to the quarterback per se, but you got him out of rhythm. You got their offense out of rhythm. You got the plays broken, and those are things I think in the positive direction. I'm not sitting here and telling you this team's going to the Rose Bowl because the defense has suddenly found some things out. But the more guys you can get playing, the guys you have back this week, Tigray Scales, who Coach Wilson said is the best linebacker today at his press conference, said he's back, and they're hoping Dutra can sneak back in the lineup. So, again, not at full strength, not at full speed, but you made a lot more plays than you did week one.
And with a defense that's starting to make a few plays, a secondary that I've already said, these guys lack no confidence, or lack they have plenty of confidence. They lack no fear because they're just going to go out and play. They think they can play. And, Glass, something that Dave and I talked about a previous week, our receivers are catching the ball, and we still don't have a sharp Nate Sudfeld yet. As you alluded to, the guy's got rust built up from a long time. He's not sharp, but when he is getting the ball in the receiver's hands and tight end Cooper, they're catching the ball.
They are, and they have a lot of weapons, and there's really no go-to guy where they're going to have to take somebody away. When you have that balance, you saw Cobbs get deep and make a great catch down the sideline there. Ricky Jones was solid, had a nice end around as well to kind of balance up his repertoire a little bit. Mitchell Page, a great individual move. That's one where the quarterback gets the touchdown on his little stat sheet, but boy, the wide receiver should almost get all of that. He spins out, almost gets his head ripped off, and then finds his way, all 5'7" of him, 160 pounds, driving himself into the end zone. So Indiana attacking from multiple positions offensively, but there's one position you just can't leave out, and that's number 8 on the offense. Remember, Tigray Scales wears 8 on defense. 8 on offense is Jordan Howard, and again, Terry, you saw why he caused problems in Conference USA at UAB.
Oh, this guy's the real deal. He's just not got the speed that the guy we're going to see on Monday Night Football.
You know who's got that kind of speed? About 4 guys in the country have that kind
There's
of speed.
There's not many.
No.
But, yeah, Jordan Howard's been phenomenal. And Devine Redding also. I mean, right now those two guys are moving the football forward for us. You know, offensively, we're fine. Once Sudfeld gets the rust knocked off, these guys are going to be hard to handle.
And if you're an Indiana fan, which I know a lot of you are out there, you'd rather have your quarterback developing a little bit later and a slow start, 2-0, than your running game where Sudfeld's got to throw it 54 times and it's a lot of all or nothing, or you're coming from behind because you've got to throw it that many times. Indiana's attack, very, very balanced in the game. 33 pass attempts for Sudfeld and Indiana with 52 rushes. So they didn't have to put it on a rusty quarterback's shoulder. Remember, this is Sudfeld's 14th career start.
Yeah.
He's been there a long time. He's played some mop-up duty, but he has not been the guy under signal, under center, that's put this team together for the last 2 or 3 years. That hasn't been the case.
So ask Andrew Luck about balance.
Absolutely right, and we will hear momentarily. But again, Indiana's offensive line did what it did. The yards per carry wasn't big, but they still gained 240 when it was all said and done. The net was 205 after taking away Sudfeld sacks and all of that. Sudfeld rushed for 2 touchdowns, made some good decisions. Kevin Wilson said after his game, interestingly enough, that his play calling in the red zone wasn't up to par. Those were his words, not mine. Something in that paraphrased angle. I agree. 3rd and 70, run the ball up the middle. That seems a little awkward. And they did that twice, 3rd and long in the red zone. Where you think, maybe we should take a shot. Maybe we should take a shot. Well, it didn't happen. And at the end of the day, Indiana still winners. The final score from the Rock Memorial Stadium, I don't know, 36-22.
What was it?
Yes. The interception, the defense makes the key play in the game to break it open. Indiana trailed at halftime for the second consecutive week, as we mentioned. But Terry, it doesn't matter. They don't hand out trophies at halftime. They don't hand out trophies in half the season. Well, yes, they do, unless you're 6-0 in a 12-game season going to a bowl game. And Indiana is 1/3 of the way there. 4 more wins to go. Western Kentucky comes to town this weekend. Indiana's a 3.5-point favorite. I saw on the Twitterverse today that Jordan Howard played against them last year, 28 carries, 160-something in change. I don't know if UAB won the game. I don't care. But they know what he brings. Nate Sudfeld's going to have to be sharp. Western Kentucky, I don't think, is as good as people are making them out to be. They should have lost 3 times to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt had 2 interceptions in the end zone, and a guy dropped a wide-open touchdown pass on 3 different drives. Western Kentucky should have lost that game, snuck through it, and played their bowl game last week on Thursday night. Louisiana Tech, conference game, beat them by 39 last year, 49, destroyed them. And I was reading, again, on the internet today, well, that's if it's on the internet, it's true. Beat writer for the Bowling Green newspaper, Zach Greenwell, said put a lot of extra work into last week's preparation, put a lot of extra time, extra film into it. Was that Western Kentucky exhaling, I heard, down there?
Must have
been. So it's house's money this week. Indiana has an opportunity to get halfway home, and we hope they shall do so. 333-2665. Terry and Glass with you live on a Monday night. Short show tonight. We'll hand it off to the NFL. That's going to be the Westwood One
Radio. Westwood One, yeah.
Network guys at 6:30. So we'll take a quick break here and do a quick autopsy on the DOA Colts in Buffalo. Fried like chicken wings. We'll do that when we come back. It's 6:20. You're in the zone on WGCL. 6:24 at WGCL. We have you for six more minutes, and then we'll hand it off to the boys at the Westwood One Radio Network. Doubleheader, Monday Night Football to open the 2015 season. Philadelphia is in Atlanta to take on Tevin Coleman and the Falcons, followed by Minnesota at San Francisco on the West Coast. We have both those games for you tonight. You can check out our whole NFL and college football schedule at WGCLradio.com. There's Terry Stoltz.
We're ready.
We're ready. Dave Novak in the Bay Area. I don't think he's going to the game tonight, but he's out there. He'll be back next week, so Terry and I will join you Wednesday. We'll get a little bit deeper in what we were glazing over today just because we have a short program for you. The Colts went to Buffalo yesterday. Tough, tough road opener. Why? Buffalo known for one thing besides chicken wings, and that's defense. And their defense is really good. It's good up front. It's decent in the linebacking corps, and it's really good in the secondary. And you saw evidence of that yesterday. Colts trailed 17-0 at halftime, 24-0 after the Buffalo got the ball in the second half, went down and scored. Colts valiantly tried to come back, but ran out of gas, ran out of steam, ran out of everything else. Too many errors to count. Where do you want to start? Let's start with the quarterback. Threw an interception in the first half. Didn't get any help from his defense. Defense just kind of letting Buffalo kind of do what they want. They got off the field here and there, but you make Tyrod Taylor throw the deep ball and he beats you on that? All right. And how do you let Percy Harvin get behind you? You know, if Percy Harvin's going to – you want Percy Harvin to catch 10-yard button hooks all day
exactly.
long.
Exactly.
You don't want him to catch fly patterns. So Darius Butler beat on that one. Not good on that. And the Colts just weren't good overall, Terry. And the number that always jumps off the page if you're a Colts fan, when they lose, I go right to Andrew Luck and I look at one thing. It's not interceptions. It's not yards. It's attempts. And when the number is over 45, it's usually bad news unless it is a shootout thriller 45-42 type game. It wasn't. Andrew Luck, 49 attempts. Frank Gore and the rest of the Colts had 17 carries. Luck had four of them. When you don't have that balance, when you're forced to throw, well, Rex Ryan does it again. The Colts, not a lot of success against Rex in a lot of places. And Rex does one thing well, and that's defense. And the Bills' defense knocked out the Colts' offense, and that's sometimes what happens at this level.
Yeah, you've got a windy, rainy, 56-degree day in Buffalo, New York, with a blowhard, brand-new coach that's telling everybody how tough they're going to be.
And
they were 9-7 last year and had a good defense. I called it at lunch yesterday. I said, the Colts aren't winning today. And what's disappointing, Glass, they didn't come out and compete. And as one of the Indianapolis stations this afternoon said, they were mugged. And that's pretty much what happened.
They were, and the line didn't do its job. Andrew Luck checking out of run plays too frequently for Chuck Pagano's liking. He mentioned today in his press conference they didn't try to establish the run. And when you let Rex Ryan's defense blitz, you better be accurate. You better get the deep ball. You better break it up. The Colts couldn't find that. They got no help on special teams. First-round draft pick Philip Dorsett muffs a punt, fumbles a punt. You can't do those things when you're trying to get back into ball games or even extend leads in ball games. So that was tough. The defense, you didn't have anybody step up and make any big plays. Again, Buffalo did what they wanted to do. They ran for 147. Taylor averaged 10 yards of completion. He only had one big play. But again, he beat you with his feet. He beat you with – you didn't make him – look what happens when the Colts put the pressure – or the Bills put the pressure on Luck. You put pressure on quarterbacks and bad things happen. Routes have to be perfect. Throws have to be good. It's raining. There's all these things that go on. But the Colts didn't get any of that pressure on the other side. T.Y. Hilton took an injury in the game. The report today is he is day-to-day with a bruised knee. He's going to be fine. X-rays were negative. That's the only good news that comes out of this game. And then when the game ends, and the question I had this morning was, the Colts win this game, they whatever the score would have been if they would have won, they didn't. So, well, that's not the case. Do you hear anything about Pagano and Gregson don't get along, and this is the focus after the game. You can talk about all the guys playing their first Colts game that stunk, who I guess everybody expected them to come in and automatically assimilate and be perfect. That wasn't the case. So you had tough new guys not performing up to speed. Now you've got Pagano, according to Jay Glazer and Jason LaConfora, coaching for his job after 1 week.
Yeah.
Boy, the NFL soap opera is a powerful, powerful thing. What happened if the Colts would have won this game? Just rumblings in about Pagano coaching for his job? He's 1-0. He wins at a tough Buffalo defense. Well, can you have it? Can you have it both ways? I don't know how that works.
Like you and I were talking before the show. I mean, how many good teams did get beat yesterday? There were
handful.
Several.
There
we're
were.
Not the only ones. I think
Dallas was seconds from losing.
They should have lost.
They took Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning, and then those guys all of a sudden don't know how to count, work timeouts, or run a play clock.
Colts will be fine.
And if they were 0-2 last year, Joe told me this morning.
And so were the New England Patriots last year, too.
11-5, 3 years in a row. So I think we'll give them a little time to breathe. I think that's only fair.
Good idea.
We'll be back Wednesday night to take a look ahead to the Jets on next Monday and more Western Kentucky as they come to Bloomington on Saturday to take on your Hoosiers. Why are we leaving right now? Good news for football fans. The NFL Monday night doubleheader starts next. It's pregame coverage of the Atlanta Falcons hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, followed by the Vikings and the 49ers. Thanks, T. We'll see you Wednesday night.
Yes, sir.
We'll hear your calls Wednesday night. You've been in the zone.